If you've been too busy to go to the movies and you need Rex, guess what? You have come to the right place. You have. I am back and better than ever. And what I have done over these past several months, I've consumed a massive amount of content that we're going to talk about. We're going to deep dive some of those things. We're going to laugh. We're going to cry. We're going to throw the remote at the wall. We're going to wonder how some of these things got funding, but this show is going to be good. And I always want, or at least semi-enjoy, when you guys give me your opinions. You know, this is a somewhat of a democracy. It's a republic-ish. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to What's Streaming. My name is Eason, and this is the show where we talk about our favorite things to watch on streaming apps. And boy, have the number of streaming apps expanded since I first started the show. Now we got Peacock, we got Paramount Plus. That's right, CBS All Access became Paramount Plus. We've also got more from Disney Plus. We've also got more from Hulu. We've got fewer things from Netflix. It's a brave, strange world out there. But first, let's talk about what people are watching in the movies. When's the last time you went to the movies? I can tell you it's been a minute, but with a lot of these top 10s, I may be on my way back this weekend. Yeah, I'm going to get off the couch and head on in to check out one of these awesome movies. In fact, number one is Jurassic World Dominion. Number two, Top Gun Maverick. Everybody's been raving about this. It stayed in the top spot for the last 4 weeks, only down 42%, still at number two. It's already grossed $51 million. People are raving about this movie. We saw Tom Cruise is back. Jennifer Connelly's back. Is Miles Teller in the new one as well? I think Miles Teller is also in Top Gun Maverick, and Val Kilmer is also back as well. It's already grossed over $395 million domestically and $748 million total. I think Tom Cruise was onto something when he was yelling and refused to release it during the pandemic. Smart man. Number two is Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, starring Benedict Cumberbatch, Elizabeth Olsen, Chiwetel Ejiofor, and Benedict Wong, directed by Sam Raimi. In fact, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness is the highest grossing film of 2022 so far, grossing more than $930 million in theaters. Number four is The Bad Guys, starring Sam Rockwell, Marc Maron, Awkwafina, and Craig Robinson, directed by Pierre Perefell. Animated movies are always going to do their thing during the summer. Number five is The Bob's Burger Movie. Number six is Downton Abbey, A New Era. All the old cast is back, and the only gossip I heard about Downton Abbey, A New Era, is that Matthew Good, who stars as Michelle Dockery, Lady Mary's husband, didn't get along with anyone, so he is in it all of about 10 minutes. There you have it. Number seven, Everything All at Once by A24 Films, which has been doing quite well this year. They're the same folks who produced The Green Knight and Zola, based on the Twitter thread. Everything All at Once is starring Michelle Yeoh, who is just awesome. It's about an aging Chinese immigrant is swept up in an insane adventure where she alone can save the world by exploring other universes, connecting with the lives she could have led. If you've seen this trailer, it looks cool. It's been out for a minute since March 25th, so it is awesome that it is still in the top 10. Number eight is Firestarter. A young girl tries to understand how she mysteriously gained the power to set things on fire. This feels like a remake of a movie we once watched a long time ago. Wasn't that with Drew Barrymore back in the day? Yeah, it's originally based on a Stephen King novel. I think I remember watching the original. Zac Efron has top billing in the new Firestarter. I'm excited to see him. It's been a minute. If you have no idea what I'm talking about the Down to Earth with Zac Efron series that he did over on Netflix, where he travels the world and dives into all of the hippie LA sustainable living practices. Actually, I shouldn't say it's hippie LA. We should all be concerned about water systems and renewable energy and living our best lives. Yeah, it was kind of cool. Cool enough that Netflix even gave it a season 2, which should be out sometime later this year. If you've not checked out your local theater listings like I have, I've already popped on to Fandango in my neighborhood. I also want to check out Lightyear, which is out this weekend, starring Chris Evans. I also want to check out The Northman, featuring Alexander Skarsgård, which I have not seen yet. Why is Morbius at number 20? I think they re-released this, much to people's chagrin over on Twitter. I'm pretty sure that Morbius is an awful rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore is still in the top 20. I started watching this on HBO Max. You know, Eddie Redmayne bores me. Jude Law was great. Ezra Miller is always good. Even in spite of all of his very public issues at the moment, he's still a great actor. Yeah, this was good so far. I've started it a bunch of times at night, so I haven't finished it. But look, the world still likes it. It's got $401 million that it's banked over at the box office. Okay, one of these has to go. Netflix, HBO Max, Hulu, Disney Plus, or Paramount Plus. Which one are you getting rid of? That was a trick question. We're not getting rid of anything. Welcome back, everybody. It's in ages. My name's Easton, and this is the show where we talk about all of our favorite streaming apps, from Apple TV Plus to Prime Video to Peacock to Paramount Plus, Hulu, and Netflix, the granddaddy of them all. And there's so much to talk about. So let's dive right in. Did you hear that Snowpiercer is going to end with season 4 over on TNT? Yeah, if you have been along for the ride with Jennifer Connelly and Sean Bean and the crew, Snowpiercer is going to be pulling into the station. The post-apocalyptic drama's upcoming 4th season, which is already in production, will be its last. A TNT spokesperson confirmed that to Deadline earlier this week. We can confirm that Snowpiercer will end after a successful multi-season run. I think it was time. Season 3 was pretty good. You know, Sean Bean is awesome. I felt like Jennifer Connelly out in the snow was like Khaleesi out in the desert. Yeah, I think they have the opportunity to make this end incredibly, and it'll be good to see them move on. Guy Ritchie is going to be directing a live-action version of Hercules for Disney. I actually don't mind this. Although, when I think about who could play a live-action version of the character Hercules, Are they going to get Oscar Isaac or Morgan Spector? That's ominous guy with dark features that they could pump up. Yeah, everybody else is too overexposed than somebody else right now, right? You can't get Hugh Jackman. No. You can't get Eric Bana, right? Those guys are also almost 60, so you need somebody a little bit younger so you can turn it into a franchise. Because what's a Disney series without 5 other versions? Yeah, I'm not mad at this one. Okay, unpopular opinion. There is a remake of Father of the Bride that is out this weekend on HBO Max. Why? Why couldn't they have called it something else? The original film starred Spencer Tracy, and it was released back in 1950, and then Steve Martin led the remake franchise series back in 1991. And here we are now with Andy Garcia in this role. It also stars Gloria Estefan. Steve Martin is just so iconic in this role. And it's during modern times. Like, he's still alive and around. Couldn't they have just called it something else? I mean, it's not like the theme would be lost on anyone. You know, a Latino father in Miami, and he loves his daughter a lot, and there's partying and family and all of those things. I just, am I wrong? Am I the asshole? Yeah. I mean, I'm still going to watch if I'm on the treadmill, but I'm not tuning in specifically for Andy Garcia. Yeah, we'll see. Can we take a quick poll right quick? When you're watching television on streaming networks, do you not mind if they do it from week to week so that you have something to look forward to once a week? Or do you like to binge it all at once? Now, I hate watching week to week, and that's probably why I'm so behind on a lot of the Disney Plus series, because I like to be able to watch all at once and comment all at once and stay in the mood all at once. But some of my friends don't mind week to week. It just drives me crazy. I know that with budgets and with a lot of these streamers who don't have a ton of content, they want to stretch it out. Also, you know, if you're paying month to month for your subscription person, and they do it over 12 weeks or 8 weeks, and they get 2 months out of you as opposed to month to month. But who's canceling and rejoining? I mean, a lot of you guys are already sharing, so you're not buying something specifically for one streaming service and then dumping it off. You got access all the time. I just don't like, with my busy life, yeah, I don't like to tune in once a week. I like to watch it all at once. Now, I'm really glad that Prime Video, when they released Jack Reacher, which was absolutely awesome. Did you guys watch Jack Reacher? So Jack Reacher was out on Prime Video, and it's actually based on a book. And Jack Reacher, the main character, was played by Alan Ritchson in the TV series. There was a movie some years ago with Tom Cruise, but I'm very specifically referring to the TV series over on Amazon Prime Video, which they released all of the episodes at once. It was awesome. I don't like week to week. No fan. And the reason that I bring this up is The Boys season 3 is out now, and they were great to release 3 episodes at once, and now they're doing the once a week thing. It's driving me nuts. Just release all of it. We want it now. And no one's getting rid of Prime Video, right? We already have Amazon Prime. That's my rant, my one rant. Okay, so, and speaking of cancellations, as you know, Discovery and Warner Media merged, and Discovery essentially bought Warner Media, and a lot of content is being cut. I mean, the CW, which Warner Media owns partly along with Paramount, lost 4400, Batwoman, Charmed, Dynasty, In the Dark, Legacies, Legend of Tomorrow, Naomi, The Republic of Sarah, Roswell, New Mexico, and Supergirl. Raised by Wolves is done, if you didn't hear that. Yep. I'm a little bit bugged because the ending wasn't really at a place where it could end, and it's not based on a book, although I've heard that Scott Free Productions is searching for a new home for Raised by Wolves. I watched it. It was good. Look, I'm all about sci-fi. They did a great job building the world. The kids were good. We need to see how it ends. You know, Netflix picked up Manifest, so we'll get to see that final season. This Is Us is done. The Big Leap with Scott Foley is done. Bull, Clarice, Good Sam, Magnum P.I., starring Jay Hernandez is done. SEAL Team moved to Paramount Plus. United States of Al has been canceled. Blackish is in its final season. Yeah, a lot's gone. But don't worry, there's so much to watch. You know, I think back to a couple of years ago when Apple TV Plus didn't have very much content and Disney Plus didn't have much content. And now they're flooding us with content. For All Mankind season 3 is out. Did you guys watch For All Mankind? I was bored to tears. I like Chris Bauer, who was in True Blood. He's great. And the direction is good. And I appreciate the concept, right? It's an alternative universe about the moon landing, and it's the 1960s. Like, I was just bored to tears. Maybe it just wasn't for me. That's okay. One of the things that I've discovered over the past couple of years about television, never be afraid to go back and watch something that you didn't catch because you were too busy, or something that you forgot about. There are some things that I remember quite nostalgically and differently that aren't quite nostalgic and amazing. And then there are some things that like have stood the test of time. Sopranos. And when I think about how I rank my streamers and going back to watch content, this is where HBO Max takes the lead. I could be lost inside the HBO Max app. It is organized very well. They do really good with themes and holidays. You can find the stuff you want, and there's so much of it. They've done a great job. You know, I loved rewatching The Wire. So good. We're going to talk about The Wire. And we're also going to talk about We Run the City, another HBO Max limited series starring Jon Bernthal. That was just awesome. We are also so lucky because, you know, the content on HBO Max has the full range, right? From Insecure with Issa Rae to White Lotus to the Snyderverse, right? All that Warner Media content. They lead the charge. Coming in at number 2, I'd say Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus is everything right now. They've got all the old nostalgia stuff for you. You know, the MTV from back in the day, reunions that are on. They've also got new programming like Hulu. They've also got new programming like Halo, which starred Liev Schreiber, which was awesome. I like that. Yeah, it was good. I liked it. We got to see a worked out Liev Schreiber looking like Mega Man. It was really good. I'm excited for season 2, which I think they'll get. Paramount Plus also has like The Mayor of Kingston and like 1883 and all of those Taylor Sheridan properties as well. Yeah. Paramount Plus is great. I also think that a strong number 3 is Apple TV Plus. Did you watch Severance? Severance was so good. I really enjoyed the first season of C, although I heard that it was going to be renewed for a 3rd season. That absolutely amazed me. If I'm wrong, don't yell at me, but you know I read the blogs. Ted Lasso was absolutely awesome. I know a lot of you like For All Mankind, even though I hate it. Yeah, Apple TV Plus has really stepped up their content game. And then there's Disney Plus, right? They've got all the superhero stuff. And then there's Hulu. I like Hulu actually probably a little bit better than I like Disney Plus in that they organize their content so well. It's so easy to find and they've got a lot of it. That's really important to me. Hulu is where I discovered Abbott Elementary. It's also where I dove into Atlanta. I know. I'm so late. I'm so slow. I don't know why it wasn't on my radar. You know, I watch a wide variety of programming. I like my space shows. I like my period shows. I like my true crime. I like my foreign television. I like my black shows. Yeah. I don't know why it wasn't on my list, but Atlanta was really good. Now, I know a lot of people have had something to say about the third season. And lucky me, because I just got into it, I was able to see the first two seasons and compare it to the third, where things change remarkably. And apparently after a 4-year hiatus, it is a very different show. But I actually did not mind season 3. Check it out. You know, Hulu is also where I discovered Snowfall, a show about LA in the 1980s. Oh, so good. And so many Brits that do a great accent in Snowfall. Hulu is also where I discovered Woke. And no, not the MAGA kind. A show with Lamour Morris and Blake Anderson from Workaholics about a graphic novelist and his spiraling life up in San Francisco. That was cool. I think it could have been around, stayed around longer had it gotten better promotion. And Hulu is also where I watch my reality TV. You know, when I want to watch Love Island, the British version. Yeah, I could watch that all day. So good. And I say that mostly because all of the Love Islands have like 50 episodes, 45 episodes. Yes. I did not watch Mrs. America. I did not watch First Lady. I didn't watch either of those. I couldn't watch the First Lady's one because I love Viola Davis, but I could not with the weird puckered mouth thing as Michelle Obama. Like, if she wanted to have bigger lips like Michelle Obama, why didn't she just get Botox in them and deflate it afterwards, right? Committing to the role. I love Viola Davis, though. How to Get Away with Murder is everything. It's over on Netflix. I have one more question for you guys. Do award shows make you more or less likely to watch a television series? If there's not someone that I watch regularly, or that I think is just amazing, awards don't really matter at all to me. I think it really is the genre of programming. Now, while awards don't necessarily decide whether or not I'll watch a program, award shows will remind me of things that I may have forgotten about throughout the year, right? Because we get so much content. I'm saying this because the Emmys are around the corner and I'm like, what have I missed? And with all the billboards here in LA around town promoting, you know, For Your Consideration, I've been reminded of things that I missed. Also, things that I think are corny. I love Issa Rae. I think she's great. But Black Lady Sketch Show, they needed to step up their jokes. It was corny. Sorry, Issa. Love you, but I know she's probably like, get your own. You're not even funny. But you guys know how I feel about comedy and sketch shows anyway. I think that Saturday Night Live is corny. Yeah, I think it's time for Saturday Night Live to go bye-bye. But maybe because it's such a cultural moment, you know, it's a part of the zeitgeist, that it'll be around forever until Lorne Michaels falls over at the camera. You know, Pete Davidson is gone now. Not that Pete Davidson made the show, but, you know, once a lot of people start to bounce, maybe it's time to shut it down. Something new. This Is Us is done. It's time. Not every show should be on for too long. You know, when shows overstay their welcome and people get stuck, you can only see them as that character. I think it's good for everybody. You know, I know that Mariska Hargitay and Christopher Maloney and Ice-T love SVU. I'm sure a nice SVU check for the last 20 years has put family members through college, bought property, helped all kinds of businesses and ventures, but are they sick of doing Law & Order SVU is the key. I know Maloney tried to leave. And such is the danger of doing television for so long. He's Stabler. Well, he's not Stabler to everybody. Remember, we saw him on Oz first on HBO Max. Then he did that stint in True Blood. Was that season 5? Which was terrible. And I love Christopher Maloney. Stay out of my DMs. He's great. Can we talk about these movies on streaming networks? I think that all of these streaming networks have overpaid for these ridiculous movies. That they've spent $100 million or $90 million on these films that we're not renting, so we don't really care about. I mean, I liked Bird Box. That was great. That was a few years ago on Netflix. I would have absolutely paid to see Jamie Foxx in Power. It was with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Dominique Fishback, Machine Gun Kelly was in it, Rodrigo Santoro, and Courtney B. Vance. Yeah, I would have paid to see that. I would not have paid to see Tomorrow War with Chris Pratt. It was good, but I was not buying it. No, hard pass. And I love my futuristic space movies. Yeah, all the ones they've done very specifically for streaming, generally, with the exception of a couple, have not been so good. But, hey, there's a lot of industry consolidation happening right now, and a lot's happening with the economy, so maybe we'll see them do more with less. Did you watch the Ryan Reynolds and Zoe Saldana movie on Netflix? I did not watch that either, but I'm going to put that on my list. That's going in the queue. Maybe I'll do an episode that's all about streaming movies, straight to stream. Okay, and one more thing. I've seen so many articles about Ezra Miller. And I think that our national media, that legacy media, people have the strange habit of kicking people when they're down or choosing a theme or narrative or whatever it is and duplicating that for clicks. And here's what I think is so cruel about this story. You know, what's obvious to anyone else with two eyes is that this actor, that Ezra Miller, appears to be in crisis. There's a lot happening, and he's got an amazing, amazing career, and he's done so much great work. And there are these things that are happening in his personal life. And I think that the sensationalized parts of what's happened have been fodder for entertainment reporters in a way that does not ask other questions. I've not seen one single interview where someone quotes his parents. And I've only seen one interview where someone references some mental health issues that he may have had in the past. Now, there's two sides to every story. And the same reporters who are clamoring for quotes on a red carpet or at Comic-Con or any one of these events are the same people now that when you're down are writing horrible things. And I just don't think that in a world where you can ask two more questions or email someone that writing a version of a story is the best. Is the best way to share with the world what's happening, right? I think that all of these reporters can do better. I don't know Ezra Miller, but I do read the news and I have watched The Flash and The Fantastic Beast and some of his other work. I also know that what you do on your job versus who you are in your private life and what you're experiencing can be very different things. All right, that was my little rant to close out the show. Media integrity. Integrity in reporting. If you want to keep up with me outside of this lovely little podcast, head on over to Twitter at What's Streaming, no G. What's Streaming Official over on Instagram, and I'm What's Streaming over on TikTok. My name's Eason, and that's all the streaming news I've got for you guys today. I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.